it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
The groundbreaking all-electric Kia EV9, the 2024 drive car of the year. Find out more at kia.com.au. And Toolmart, the complete tool center, serving WA for over 40 years. This is Sports Day.
Hello everyone, welcome to Sports Day WA, all thanks to Toolmart, the complete tool centre serving WA for over 45 years, and as you heard, Nutrien Ag Solutions going further for Australian farmers. Here we are, the start of another week on the back end of the run home. Enjoyed doing that with Paul Hazelby in the absence of Damien Marto. Damien Martin will be back middle of next week. We did get discussing regarding, and I'm speaking to Malcolm Blight shortly, who is, just as we know, been an outstanding footballer in his time, outstanding coach, took Geelong to three grand finals without winning one back in 1989, regarded as one of the greatest grand finals of all time, that Hawthorn-Geelong clash where Gary Ablett Sr. kicked nine goals and still the Cats couldn't get over the line. And, of course, in 92 and 94, losses to the West Coast Eagles. So Blight is going to join us shortly. And we're going to talk about a range of topics. One will be, and I'll throw it to him, on the weekend, Jack Darling went to outright second in relation to all-time goal kickers for the West Coast Eagles. He jumped over Peter Sumich. Sumich, 514 goals. Darling now up to 516 and still playing behind Josh Kennedy. And I'll ask Blighty how he sees those two forwards in the history of the West Coast Eagles. And I might even ask him if he had to pick one of them today, which one would he select? And the same thing I throw to yourselves on the text machine, 0487 736 736. That's the hot topic for Apple iSports for the fans. If you had your chance to select at the peak of their powers, either Jack Darling or Peter Sumich for the West Coast Eagles, which way would you go? And the other hot topic for mine stems from, again, a conversation I'll have with Malcolm Blight about the showdown, which is a standalone event to a national TV audience on Thursday night. And I think that's the first time that has happened, that Adelaide will play Port Adelaide and it'll be beamed live into the heartland, which is Melbourne, Victoria, which has tended to sort of go when it goes one-off games on big nights, Thursday nights or Friday nights, with a bit of a skew towards at least one Victorian club being involved. Will we ever see a Western Derby stand alone on a Thursday or Friday night to a national audience? I was saying to Paul Hazelby in the previous program, The Run Home, I'm not sure it's going to happen in the next few years, but no doubt the AFL's done their research, looked at figures, looked at interest, looked at the whole dynamics, and it appears that the showdown has got the appeal. Now, Hayes did say to me, oh, it may come when the West Coast Eagles and the Fremantle Dockers maybe are both sitting in the top four. Well, the game on Thursday, when you look at Adelaide and Port Adelaide, they're both sitting in the middle of the table. So they're not certainly burning the house down as far as results are concerned. But the only thing that I care to say is, of course, the first round or first how many rounds, 13 I think it may be, have all been set in stone from earlier in the year. And Leon from Hocking makes a very interesting point too. And he says, all non-Victorian rivalry games like the Showdowns, which is a great name, the Q Clash, which I think is a good name between the Suns and the Lions, which happens this weekend, the Battle of the Bridge between Sydney and the Giants. He says at least one per state per year should be a Friday night standalone match regardless of form, and includes the Western Derby in that. We have to watch Victorian blockbusters reinforced and how important they are. It should be reinforced to the rest of Australia how important the interstate rivalries are. That's a good one from Leon from Hocking. And you may agree with Leon on 0487 736 736. Is the Western Derby a meek name? Do we need to rebrand it? We know what derbies are. There's derbies all the time in relation to Carlton Collingwood. They regard that as an arch rival derby in some ways. You look at the Q Clash, that's got a bit of a sexiness to it, something a bit different. The showdown is quite explosive. The Battle of the Bridge sets the scene of the two Sydney teams or the New South Wales team. If you had to rebadge our Western Derby, you might be comfortable with it. Is there anything more dynamic from a marketing point of view that would accentuate the rivalry between West Coast and Fremantle? I'd like to get some ideas from you. 0487 736 736. For me, it's a decent enough name, the Western Derby, but we've had it since day one when the Derby started back in 1995. Is it time to rebrand it with something a bit more dynamic and explosive and make it a bit more appealing now to a new generation of Fremantle and West Coast Eagles supporters? A couple of the hot topics there for Apple iSports, your one-stop shop for all things sports. Give us your thoughts on the text machine or give us a call on the Scarborough Toyota open line. Happy to hear from you. Scarborough Reach Road in Aussie Park, 13 12 55. Now, opinions that inspire. Darling or Sumic? I'd love to hear from you regarding that. If you had a chance to select one of those two at the peak of their powers, which way would you go? For the groundbreaking all-electric Kia EV9, the 2024 car of the year, find out more at kia.com.au. It gives me great pleasure to introduce my first special guest on the show, and we're talking about Malcolm Blight. Malcolm, thanks for joining us here on Sports Day WA.
Hi, Peter. Yeah, good to talk again.
You've got a big week over there in Adelaide. Before we talk about the start of Round 8, where the focus will be on Thursday night there at the Adelaide Oval, a sad news today because he's been a great player for such a long period of time. His durability has been outstanding. Rory Sloane decided to retire today.
Yeah. It's one of those, isn't it, that rotten eye injury he got. And he's got a lot of living. He's got three young kids, a beautiful wife, great family. And, I've really enjoyed Rory Sloane. He's one bloke that actually you'd put your head on the pillow and say, I reckon I know what I'm going to get out of him. If you're coaching him or a teammate, you knew exactly what you're going to get every start. He just never not gave up. He just kept going. He was a wonderful competitor.
34 years of age, had he got his eye right and he could have continued, do you reckon he would have continued?
I think he would have, yeah. He said to him, in fact, I was at a function with him not that long ago, and he said, geez, I'm feeling the best I've ever felt, but the trouble is, there's another issue. So, he was starting to question himself probably early this January, February, I think it was. Mm-hmm. I was in a meeting with him. So, yeah, he knew it wasn't great. So he's taken the medical opinion, and I'm glad he's done that for the rest of his life.
255 games for the Crows, a great career. He won the Malcolm Blight Medal twice during his career, as well as the best and fairest there at the Adelaide Crows. Speaking about the Crows and Port showcase the start of Round 8. It's a Thursday night game, and it's an amazing really fixture from a point of view that, of course, this game will be beamed directly into the heartland, being Victoria. All of a sudden, the focus is on this showdown on Thursday night. Should be an absolute beauty.
Yeah, it's showdown number 55, Peter. Now, I did the first one against Port Adelaide way back in 97 when Port Adelaide came into the competition. So they've been going a long while. The surprising thing and an unbelievable thing is that they're 27 off. The first 54 have gone quid pro pro. So it is one of the great football, competitions between these two teams. And The interesting thing this year is Port Adelaide, whom I picked to maybe finish in a grand final, and Adelaide maybe just finish in the final, they've both actually had their little misdemeanors this year, and their injuries are starting to mount. I'm sure everyone in Perth would know about Connor Rosie. He's done a hamstring. Alir's got concussion. And
Sam Powell-Pepper.
Also Powell-Pepper. He's got two, yeah. But for the Crows, Pedler's got a crooked shoulder now. Philthorpe and Murray haven't been there all year. And now with Sloane out, Milroy, one of their halfback flankers, is out too. So it's going to be an injury-affected showdown.
I said to someone today before I came into work here at SENWA, I don't think we'll ever see a West Coast Eagles Fremantle standalone game like we're seeing on Thursday night for the showdown from a national perspective. That means, and no doubt Seven and the AFL have done their research into showdowns, it must gravitate to more people than just people in South Australia.
Yeah, I think this sounds probably funny, but I think it's a square off for the point that the goal that wasn't allowed last year at the round 23 when the Crows should have played in the finals. And I think they've given them a few, they've given them some marquee games. And people have talked about it for ages because they see the ferocity in it. You know, I mean, we don't have the thumping and the punching and all that now. But geez, I tell you what, you do have some hard stuff going at the footy. And both teams have been relentless in the last two or three years with this, I guess, newer groups for the Crows. Bit more established for Port Adelaide. So, and the Crows, ironically, won the last year in a season where Port finished very, very high. So with those injuries out, it is a genuine, once again, you could not pick the winner. The Crows are coming, and Port Adelaide with injury might be stalling.
Amazing. So we're looking forward to that on Thursday night. I know it's a few days out. Are you leaning one way or the other?
I'm just thinking, Rosie is a massive out. I mean, he's become one of my favourite three players in the competition. He's just got every trick under the book. Also, Powell-Pepper adds to their midfield. And, you know, Alir, they recruited two extra defenders this year in Radicalia and Dirk Thatcher because they were short back there. So they're going to be short again, I think, with this. So if you made me make a call, I'd probably say 7 points to Adelaide, without much confidence, to be perfectly honest.
If that's the case, it'll be a beauty on Thursday night. Malcolm Blight, you were a noted goal kicker. You kicked over 400 goals in your time with North Melbourne in the VFL. And even the days in the South Australian National Football League, you averaged over 3 goals a game for your beloved Woodville. Now, we've got a situation here where Jack Darling has now leapfrogged Peter Sumich to become now the second time all-time leading goal kicker behind JK Josh Kennedy in the West Coast Eagles. And now the comparison comes. Jack Darling, Peter Sumich, who was a better kicker of the football on goal? Have you got an opinion?
Well, yeah, I have actually, watching Peter Sumich annoy me in the 92 and 94 grand finals. Yeah. I looked it up today. He kicked 2 goals, 4 in the 94 one, but he kicked 6 in the 92 one when they won their first ever. So he was annoying. He had that run around left foot, didn't he? That hooker's left foot, bit like Buddy Franklin, bit like a lot of left footers do. So his goal kicking, I guess, at times was fantastic because he got the ball a lot. But I looked up Jack Darling. He's kicking at 66%. Now, generally speaking, a bit away from goals. So that's a really, really good number. I guess you'd call it high half forward, high centre half forward. I know Josh Kennedy played there for a lot of years, so he became maybe half forward flinky. So he didn't actually spend a lot of time in front of the goals as much as some of the others. So Jack Darling, I think, has been a lovely kick. Probably a better kick for goal. Sumich just kept on getting the ball and kicking points, but it was down that end and he kept it down there often. So I think Jack's marginally better. Sumich probably had more shots.
Interesting. And the other thing is we know that Jack's had a couple of tough years on the back end of where the West Coast Eagles have been. And all of a sudden we're seeing Jake Waterman, who's now kicked 6, 5 and 4 in his last 3 outings. And people are saying, why wasn't he given opportunities earlier? How do you see Jack? And is it the fact that Oscar Allen's been out that all of a sudden Jake Waterman is getting an opportunity?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting call, isn't it? I mean, Another one, his father Chris annoyed me too when I was coaching Geelong with a premiership player at the Eagles, of course. But yeah, Jake's 25 now. Some people take a bit longer. I mean, I know he had that rotten illness last year, colitis, which must have knocked him about. Whether that's done something to him, whether each time he goes out now he thinks, well, Jesus, this could really end soon, but he's still only 25. But yeah, I mean, more opportunity. And I think you mentioned it before, Peter. I mean, Kelly, we know, can play. Elliot Yeo, when he's fit, we know, can play. And you throw Harley Reid as that X factor now. I know he didn't play last week, but all of a sudden you've got three, and Harley looks as though he's played 100 games already. All of a sudden you've got three very, very competent midfielders. We know the other two are when they're right. Add that third definite one with some spunk and vitality and life, and all of a sudden the forward line gets a few more opportunities.
Mm. And how did you see Fremantle before I throw you one final question about the Cats, Malcolm? You mentioned 92 and 94. The Cats at the moment unbeaten on top of the AFL ladder. Over 100 possessions from three midfielders from Fremantle at the weekend, yet they just got over the line against the Western Bulldogs. Did you have a chance to decipher that match?
I did, actually. I picked Fremantle. In the tipping, I'm one like all us, you know, experts on tipping. Jeez, it's hard, isn't it? I don't know what we do it for. I put myself through agony. But I did pick Fremantle. I thought they'd bounce back after the derby, you know, when West Coast got a hold of them. You look at their team and I think, gee, their defence is terrific. They've got competence in the forward line. And, you know, all of a sudden, Nat Fyfe, I read the story today about he tried something slightly different off summer, and he seemed to be playing like he's 21 again, 22 again. And you throw the other boys in there. Sarong's a terrific player. So they're not out of it by any means. I think they've still got the chance to be top four. I mean, I like something about them. When they get going, sometimes, people talk about they play a bit defensively, and they probably do a little bit, but with that midfield, if they can get their share of the ball and get it going forward, you know, I reckon there's enough talent up forward to actually kick scores.
Well, you got Geelong to three grand finals in 89, 92 and 94, Malcolm Blight. Certainly one of the great coaches during that era. How do you see the Cats now, the only unbeaten side in the AFL competition after seven starts?
Yeah, I tell you what, you would have got put a lot of money on that if you're a betting man. And I'm never had a bet on footy, thank goodness. But you wouldn't have picked that after their form last year, after their premiership year the year before. What it was, I actually watched the game closely. I thought Carlton playing Geelong last weekend was my must-watch every bit of the game, every minute of it, and see if I can work something out. But I must say, the two goals, eight, that Carlton kicked in the first quarter, I sat there with someone, I just said, oh, geez, I've seen this play before. This is going to cost them. This will cost them a couple of goals, two or three goals at the end. They had a lot more chances, had many, many more, 20 or plus more inside 50s. I thought they just burnt the ball a bit going forward. And Geelong, typical, clinical, team sharing, kick goals, closest goal to possible. We kick goals. They share it all the way through. And I think Carlton could probably learn something, not from the way they actually went about it, just that last little bit of sharing, one in three, one in four times. I thought they may have given it off a bit more. So I think they can learn. I don't think Geelong wouldn't even rate themselves as favourites of the flag, the way Chris Scott and the whole club operates. But, you know, they will do it one by one, and, you know, they'll go through their processes. They wouldn't think they're unbeatable by any means, and they're not.
Malcolm Blight, always a pleasure. Thanks for spending some moments with us here on SENWA. Enjoy the showdown on Thursday night.
Good on you, Peter. Have a good weekend. Bye. Yeah,
good on you, mate. He's wishing me the weekend already. We've only got Monday. Yeah, I'm looking forward to the weekend. Of course, the action starts on Thursday night. You can hear all games here on SEN. Looking forward to the West Coast Eagles. Of course, they play Essendon. And the Fremantle Dockers also in action. Just quickly, Lisa from Ellerbrook says, hi, Peter and team. Enjoyed listening to you, Jimmy and Scotty, calling Freo and Dogs game. Thought the crowd was disappointing. As great as Jack's been, Peter Sumich for me. If you get this message in time, can you please ask Blighty, what makes the Cats such a formidable team every season? They are always in the top eight or top four. They've got a pretty good coach. And I reckon they've got a pretty good development and coaching staff. They know exactly the type of players they need and have been happy to give certainly what others considered almost retirement players a go. and you know, the likes of Liam Shiel and co. So they've been very, very selective with the players they feel that has kept them, as you point, Lisa, very much in contention for most seasons, even though last season was a disappointment by their standards. It's coming up 18 past five. The text line is there for you. So Blighty feels he'd probably select Jack Darling ahead of Peter Sumich at their peak. Interesting. And a 66% accuracy for Jack Darling, which may surprise a few people. Text line 0487 736 736. The Scarborough Toyota open line there for you. 13 12 55. More texts after the break. And also, we'll get into our top five at five.
The groundbreaking all-electric Kia EV9, the 2024 Drive Car of the Year. Find out more at kia.com.au. And Toolmart, the complete tool centre, serving WA for over 40 years. This is Sports Day.
Very shortly, the top five. I'd love to get your thoughts, those people that have been going to the WAFL. And as we know, the big promotion for the WAFL is experience the waffle wonderland. It's a win-win situation. I must admit, I went to Lathlain Park and saw the firsthand the wonderland last Thursday, being Anzac Day. And I thought it was pretty good, actually. But there was one area of concern from the people that I spoke to. And Wayne has actually sent through a message saying, "Dear Waffle Wonderland," and this is a directive to the DJ. He says, "The DJ, the crowd is mainly 40 plus or under 12 years of age, with kids going with their parents or grandparents. Don't play that club doof doof music. Maybe you need to stick to some more anthems that everyone knows. But if you've been to the Waffle Wonderland experience, I'd like to get your thoughts on it and just what sort of atmosphere it does provide." 0487 736 736. Now, for Novus Autoglass, there's one near you, 13 22 34. Let's get into today's top five at five.
Number five.
Two putts to win.
Eddie's in.
Oh!
He taps it in anyway.
So Cam Smith for Team Ripper GC in the home event here at the Grange Golf Club in Adelaide. They stood up on the second playoff hole.
Ultimately, what a show of talent, of poise, of true Aussie grit by this quality quartet who have served up a sensational day of golf here in Adelaide. The hopes of a golf mad nation squarely on their shoulders, and Ripper GC have performed magnificently for Australia.
It is a dream come true for us, I think. We'd been talking about it all year. It's one that we wanted to win, obviously, but I don't even know what to say. It's just so good.
Yeah, so good it was. And, of course, the Australian quartet taking out the team's championship there, and that was Cam Smith as the representative and almost like the team captain for the Australian quartet. But high-level discussions are underway to secure the long-term future of LIV Golf in Adelaide after the weekend's tournament attracted nearly 100,000 spectators, and the event lived up to its promise of delivering electrifying golf experience, with players and attendees alike branding it as one of a kind. So at this stage, they've got the tournament until 2026. However, it appears that negotiations are also underway to potentially move the tournament to February to avoid any unpredictable weather conditions and secure it for a number of years beyond that.
Number four.
Sent in by Declan Rice. Kai Havertz! Finishes it off, and inside 38 minutes, Arsenal get their third. Suddenly, Mikel Arteta's team look like champions.
Yeah, still disappointing. Look, from our perspective, we were way too we allowed them, way too easy access to our goals. They only got there three or four times and they scored three goals in the first half, and it's just not acceptable at this level, and we paid a price for it against a very good team. And we showed resilience, we fought back, but we had to, because there's no other choice. You know, we couldn't come out here in the second half and not give our supporters at least a little bit of hope. So you know, we did that, but still very disappointing.
Yeah, disappointing performance for Ange Postecoglou and Tottenham Hotspur, going down by 3-2 at home in the North London Derby. They don't like each other, the Gunners and Spurs supporters. So a 3-2 loss. They were 3-0 down to the Gunners in the first half before getting a couple of goals in the second half to make the scoreline fairly respectable. But Arsenal and now Manchester City appear the only two teams likely to take out the English Premier League title for this season.
Number three.
Here's the good news for Glory. We're into stoppage time. Lolling. Oh, it's crept in. Nothing Ollie Sale could do about that one. And Sydney are in seventh heaven. They've equaled their biggest ever margin of victory. And Joe Lolling has a double.
Yes, it's been a horrific last 3 weeks. In fact, a horrific season for the Perth Glory. They've conceded 19 goals in their last three games. An 8-0 loss to Melbourne City, a 4-3 loss at home to Western United, and the final game of the year in Sydney on Sunday, copping a 7-1 hammering. It's been a terrible season. In fact, it's probably more than terrible. And now the post-mortems will begin as the new owner, the Peligra Group, look to maybe save face and try and rebrand the Glory going forward. No doubt there'll be some massive player movements, and the big question will be whether Alan Stadich, the current coach of the Glory, will remain and coach in his second season.
Number two.
Exactly. We're right there with you, Grace. And now Hannah Green has gone back-to-back at Wilshire Country Club. The winner again of the JM Eagle LA Championship.
What a great performance by WA's Hannah Green, claiming her second consecutive LA Championship title, a strong finish, continued very much a love affair with the golf course to successfully defend her championship crown. And it was a commanding performance with a 5-under stretch in five holes. Green finished with 12-under, 272 total, 3 strokes clear of informed Swede Maja Stark, who shot a 68.
Number one.
Picked up by the Dockers in the draft. And now, let's hope it's a fairy tale first assault on goal for Voss. The crowd waits. Silence around the stadium. The players watch him as he comes in. Half a dozen steps, 40 metres out. Drop punt on its way. The celebrations begin.
Kicks it up to the wing. Bonampelli marks. The Dockers have snapped their 3-game losing streak. And after a demolition derby, they're back on the winners list.
Yes, a great performance by the Fremantle Dockers, because many people didn't know how they would react after what was an embarrassing performance against the West Coast Eagles last weekend. But they bounced back and defeated the Western Bulldogs and all of a sudden have snuck into the top eight, currently sitting in eighth position. So well done to the Fremantle Dockers. And that's the top five at five, all thanks to Novus Auto Glass. Don't let your old windscreen end up as landfill. Call Novus Auto Glass 13 22 34. We'll take a break. On the other side of the break, we'll speak to Richie Smith, who is the coach of Hannah Green. He also has in his stable Min Ji Lee and Min Wu Lee as well. So he's got a very, very healthy stable of young golfers doing it, not only for Australia, but in particularly West Australia, which seems to be the mecca in some ways of the up-and-coming golfers. Well done to Hannah Green in America, in the US last night in Los Angeles. In fact, in the early hours of this morning, she completed back-to-back victories, her fifth professional title. So I'll speak to Richie after the break here on Sports Day WA. All thanks to Toolmart, the Complete Tool Centre, serving WA for over 45 years, and Nutrien Ag Solutions going further for Australian farmers.
The groundbreaking all-electric Kia EV9, the 2024 drive car of the year. Find out more at kia.com.au. And Toolmart, the Complete Tool Centre, serving WA for over 40 years. This is Sports Day.
Welcome back to Sports Day WA with Peter Vlahos. And when we look at some of the big stories in the last 24 hours for Cobram Estate, premium Australian extra virgin olive oil, and the good oil for mine is what happened to one of our star golfers. I was actually watching it across the weekend and early this morning before I came to work, and it was just great to see Hannah Green, our very own, take off back-to-back, let me tell you, the big LPGA tournament played in Los Angeles. And joining us is her longtime coach in Richie Smith. Richie, thanks for your time.
Hi, Peter. Thanks for the opportunity.
You must be over the moon. That was a sterling four-round performance. And when the pressure was on in the last round, to shoot a final round 66 just shows what Hannah's all about.
Yeah, it was clinical, wasn't it? Like, she basically took the event away from everyone else in the field. So that's, you know, that's how we want to play. We want to play aggressive and basically flawless golf, and that's what she did, and really proud of her, actually.
It was flawless golf, wasn't it? She missed just one of 14 fairways on the final day and missed only four greens in regulation. So she was certainly, the radar was there.
It was, and, you know, she missed, I think she missed a green on 12 and then chipped in and then also putted in from off the green for an eagle on the 15th. She just took it away from them. It was great.
It was interesting, actually, watching the television coverage, and the commentators did mention that there are certain golfers that really do, for whatever reason, like certain golf courses. And it appears that Hannah feels very comfortable there in LA.
Yeah, well, it's a Cooch golf course. So it's very similar to what we have in Perth. And, you know, there's eucalyptus trees everywhere and the bunkering looks very similar to what it is on the Sandbelt. So it's got a really Australian feel. And, you know, sun's out, it's LA, good food around. I think she's in a really good mood when she goes there. Loves the social life there as well. So, yeah, it's just a great place. And, you know, she's made it her home now. Well, not her home, but she's certainly made it her favourite golf course for the last 4 years. I think she's only been beaten by three golfers there in 4 years. So it's an amazing stat.
It is an amazing stat. And I gather, Richard, would it be fair to say that the latest victory was, in some ways, she didn't want to repeat what happened at the first major where she missed the cut. She was determined to do well in this tournament?
Well, it's interesting because last year she missed the cut in the same event and then went on to win this event as well. So it's pretty much a mirror image of what she did last year. This year, though, she came in, even to the event that she missed the cut in, she actually came into that event really in good form. She just felt sick when she woke up and, yeah, dropped five shots in the first 4 hours of the tournament and never really recovered. But we were very confident, even at missing that cut last week, we were very confident we were going to do well this week, and then that's what's happened. And, yep, she's now a five-time LPGA winner.
Amazing. And this takes her from, I think, ranked 18 to almost, if not, in the top 10. She's now one of the world's leading female golfers, and you must be very proud of what she's achieved.
I am, because, you know, at age 17, she was playing number three in our state team. She wasn't necessarily a world beater. She was just a toiler, and she's worked really hard. What we didn't see at that stage was how tough she was. She's an extremely tough competitor, even though she's quite a happy go lucky sort of a person. Her greatest asset is her brain, and we're seeing that now.
So, Richie, you've been coach of Hannah for a long, long time. Is there any specific part of the game that you've worked on that's now come together to make her the player that she is?
I think swing-wise, she's improved a lot. I think, we made a decision at the end of that major when she won KPMG in 2019 that we would rebuild her swing because it wasn't stacking up, even though she had won. So we rebuilt it, and she won 5 weeks after that event. So she's now won, four times since that first major win. She's turning into one of the best ball strikers in the world, albeit not one of the longest, but certainly one of the most consistent. I'm really proud of that, and I think she is as well. And, you know, let's just hope that we can get her chipping to a level which is, you know, really, really world-class, and then I don't think she'll have any flaws in her game.
And what's also seemingly from myself, being an outsider looking in, is that the LPGA Tour is a very strong one. There are some very good golfers on the circuit.
Yeah, there are. I mean, it's a world tour, so we have certainly players from every continent playing. The Koreans are really strong, and the Koreans are now sending their best players over to play on that. And, you know, we're very competitive to have hopefully two players in the world top 10. Coming from little old Perth is a really great achievement, and, you know, we hope that they stay there for a long time.
And you're talking about Minji Lee as well there from Royal Fremantle. Was it fair to say that when things got going, because they're roughly the same age, I believe, but anyway, Hannah's 27, and it was all the focus was on Minji when she was starting to move in relation to her career, and Hannah had to work pretty hard to get the attention in relation to her golfing career. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, I think that's really fair. I think everyone was so awestruck by how well Minji was doing at the age of sort of 16 through 18 that they didn't notice that there was this young girl coming up behind her that was actually pretty good as well, albeit she was that far behind Minji at the time. It was easy to miss her. But I think once she finished well in the New Zealand Open at the age of 18, I think she played with Lydia Ko in the last group and she performed really, really well in that event. We knew that there was something different about her. Yes, she had some skills on the golf course, but mainly her mental skills were amazing. So, she's really taken the golfing world by a bit of storm in the last sort of 10 weeks. We think that this year is going to be a really great year, and hopefully it continues to be so.
Her payout or payday is $860,000 with that sensational victory, the back-to-back victory of the LPGA LA Championship. It's amazing when they went into the final round that she was tied with the overnight lead with fellow Aussie and good friend Grace Kim, which was quite interesting. But in the end, as we know, Hannah pulled away. I believe they're quite close.
Yeah, they are. Well, you know, we were talking about it after the round today. Hannah's really like a bit of a old mother hen to all these young girls that are coming through, and Grace is one of those. And I think Grace really looks up to her. And the fact that, you know, Grace had a really tough day out there playing in the last group with Hannah, and Hannah wins, and then Grace comes over and showers her with water and gives her a big hug was really a testament to how much Grace thinks of Hannah. And I guess all the other players that come and showered her as well. It was a really nice scene for a group of our girls who are all competitors with each other to really show the respect to Hannah.
Yeah, looking at those scenes, it wasn't just water. There was plenty of, I think, expensive champagne poured on Hannah as well after she put the ball away in the 18th and claimed the LPGA LA Championship. You as coach, Rishi, what was your emotion?
I was actually really good with this one. Hannah has a habit of making things really tight, and it wasn't really the case with this. So I was just really happy with the clinical nature that she sort of took the game away from the opposition. So there wasn't really any nervous moments for me. I just sat back and enjoyed my breakfast and watched it, and it was great.
And can I just ask you a couple of final questions? Minwoo Lee, following the Masters, your thoughts on his performance?
Unbelievable. So he broke his finger maybe 9 days out from the event. You know, playing golf with a broken finger is not easy. And then he got a really bad case of the flu, was bedridden from Sunday to Tuesday prior to the event, and then got gastro on the eve of the event. So he finished 22nd after being, four over after six holes in the actual tournament was amazing. And he's really proud of it, I think. I think he showed real strength in a situation where he hasn't been positioned as, you know, struggling as much as that. And, I think it's just a sign that he's maturing. I think his golf's great. I think, again, same as Hannah, I think this year's going to be a great year for him.
And finally, we had the LIV Golf Tournament from Friday through to Sunday at the Grange in Adelaide. Your thoughts on the LIV Tour?
Well, I think it's great for Australian golf. So, the PGA Tour has decimated the Australian Tour for a long time, and I think that the fact that the LIV Golf has bringing such great players down here, giving, you know, the Australian public something to watch, which is at a high level, fabulous. I think it's encouraging more young people to play. You know, a bit of noise around it, a bit more of a party atmosphere. I think, you know, people are starting to be excited by golf again, which it hadn't been like that. And, you know, if you watch PGA Tour, it's a bit dull and boring and lives interesting. So I think it's great.
And Richie, when are we likely to see Hannah back in Australia?
That is a great question. I think she'll probably come home for about 3 weeks over the course of maybe the middle of the year. But no one will see her because she'll be hanging out with her dog and she'll be just having some time off. But I think Australian Open this year, she'll definitely play. Whether that's in Melbourne or Sydney, yep, she'll be very keen to do well. She's never won that, as has Minji's never won that either. So I think they'll both be very keen to come back and give it a crack.
Good on you, Richie Smith. No doubt a very proud man you are. And when you get the chance, which you will, pass on our congratulations from the Sports Day team here at SENWA. We were very excited. All the best, and we wish you the best for the remainder of 2024. That was a great result this morning. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Peter. Good play.
Yeah, great to have a chat to Richie Smith, the golf coach of Hannah Green, who, as we mentioned, defended her LPGA LA championship title. And by the way, as you heard in the chat, $860,000 payday. That was a sensational final round at 66. Tell me about it. All thanks to Cobram Estate. That's our feature interview. Australia's most awarded extra virgin olive oil, grown, harvested, and first cold pressed in northern Victoria. Now, let's have a look at the sports news headlines for Tyre Power's power-up sale. It's on now. Firstly, let's just recap what's happened in AFL action. And former Adelaide Crows captain Rory Sloane has announced he will retire from the AFL after 255 games over 16 seasons. In a statement, the club said Sloane had made the difficult decision in the best interest of his long-term health following a second round of surgery on a detached retina earlier this year. The veteran did attempt to wear protective glasses during training sessions this season in a bid to return to playing football, but the 34-year-old said life after football was too important to risk. So we wish Rory Sloane all the best in his retirement, and what a fantastic player he was for such a long period of time for the Adelaide Crows. And Malcolm Blight also paid his respect when I spoke to Blighty a bit earlier here on Sports Day WA. Let's just recap the game yesterday, the West Coast Eagles against the Gold Coast Suns. This is what Adam Simpson had to say, just in brief, on the performance of the Eagles.
We got beaten pretty heavily in the contested situation, around the clearances in particular. That combined with some free kicks and lost field position, and I found it really difficult to get into the game. But last quarter, we sort of said, let's take it on, see what we can do. And just that 15, 20 minutes of resilience was all I need to see to suggest that, you know, they've got some spirit there. But we've got a heap of work to do around the contest. Was not up to scratch.
So Gold Coast beating West Coast at Carrara. Cam, is no real surprise, despite another slow start. But in the end, for the Gold Coast, Noah Anderson, Matt Rowe ripping into the middle. They certainly played very well. The youngsters, Jed Walter, two goals, and Ethan Reid, who was managed this week, is the ruckman in waiting. They've got some very exciting young players, have the Gold Coast Suns. And this is what Damien Hardwick, the coach, had to say about their performance.
I've got this stat called shit goal stat, and we gave them three. Bip out the language, but, you know, three in the second quarter, which was really frustrating. And there was a bit, you know, period of play in the second quarter where there should have been Benny Hill music playing. Like, it was, you know, the Mac Andrews holding the ball was like, and those are the sort of plays that we've got to eradicate from our game. And it will come, and we know we're going to give them every now and then, but, you know, against better sides, and don't get me wrong, West Coast are playing some good footy, had two really good wins the last couple of weeks, but they'll punish us even more.
And one of the great comments to come out of the coaches' press conferences was from Sam Mitchell, the Hawks coach, after they were well beaten by 70-plus points against the Sydney Swans.
I mean, really, we were taught a lesson. They're a very, very good side. You know, they're in the top couple of teams in the competition for a reason. And, you know, I looked at our pressure and the effort and the contest was actually okay for us, but they will just put enormous amount of pressure on us. Their tackle numbers, their pressure numbers, no matter what we produced, they were able to produce a bit more, and we just couldn't withstand their heat today.
And just finally, for Tyre Power with this sports update, you can visit your local Tyre Power store today for a free tyre safety inspection. There are over 50 stores across WA. Interesting that Pakistan have appointed former South African batter Gary Kirsten as head coach of its men's white ball teams, while its test side will be guided by Dizzy Gillespie, the former Australian fast bowler Jason Gillespie. He will join the team during the England tour featuring four T20 internationals next month, and his first major assignment will be the T20 World Cup in the United States and West Indies in June. And as we know, Gillespie has coached domestic teams in India, England and Australia, and will take over before the two test Bangladesh series in August. So good luck to Jason Gillespie. It's interesting that Mickey Arthur also coached the Pakistan national team for a while, and it appears it's one of those jobs that certainly, after a period of time, takes its toll on you. Before I go, look out for the sunrise, by the way. Enjoy some local service. There are over 1,200 stores Australia-wide. Visit newsunrise.com.au. Thanks, Connor. Thanks, Jimmy. That's been Sports Day WA. Back with more tomorrow from 5, straight after the run home. I'll be joining Hayes at the microphone for the run home between 3 and 5. It's 3 hours of full-on sport in the afternoon right here on SENWA. Have a great Monday night, and we may have a bit of rain tomorrow. We'll have to wait and see. See you tomorrow from 5.
The groundbreaking all-electric Kia EV9, the 2024 drive car of the year. Find out more at kia.com.au. And Toolmart, the complete tool centre, serving WA for over 40 years. This is Sports Day.